We're grateful that you've joined us this week for another series of in our lessons. We thank you that you've come, and we know that lots of you are joining us from a far distance, but we're grateful that you're with us today. And we hope that you're all staying healthy. We have some of our own number now who have come down with the COVID, and so we're particularly mindful of that disease and all that it's doing for folks in this area. I learned earlier this week that Brother Charles Abbey had passed away. He had COVID, was in the hospital, had gone to the emergency room, and he's passed away earlier. So we want to be mindful of that family. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us. We're grateful that we have an opportunity to spend some time together in your word. Today, we thank you again for the blessings of the internet, for making that possible for us to do even from a distance. We're mindful of those who are suffering with this disease. We're mindful of those who are hospitalized and who are facing some pretty difficult times. We pray your special blessings upon those people and those families that are involved. We're also mindful of those who've lost loved ones. We're mindful of the fact that many have lost loved ones due to this disease. And again, we thank you, Lord, that you're with us and that you come to our rescue even in times like these. We pray you'd be with us this day as we study from your word. And again, give us wisdom and insight as we study together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be with you and to share with you another portion of God's Word. We've been looking at several of the Psalms, and today we're going to look at a Psalm that I think is an interesting one that we won't be able to cover all of. We're going to cover a part of this Psalm because it is such an important one. The Bible is really relevant to our lives, more relevant than today's newspaper. It's all-powerful and it's alive. It changes folks' lives. It's an important Word. And our author is going to make a big deal of that as he moves through the text. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and it's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. It's very long. The psalmist proclaims the Word of God should be the guide for the spiritual life of God's children. It is indeed that. Our author describes how the Word enables us to grow in holiness and how to handle persecution and pressures that are always accompanying those who are obedient and try to live an obedient life. The psalm is an acrostic. It has eight verses with each of the 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet. So that makes 176 verses. It's really quite interesting because I've seen some folks who have decided they will preach through this whole psalm, and so they'll preach 22 sermons on the psalm. We're not going to spend 22 weeks studying this psalm, but we are going to spend a week looking at a few of these texts, a few of these alphabet letters. Verses 1 through 8 begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph, and so that's and then verses 9 through 16 begin with Beit. And verses 17 through 24 begin with Gimel, and so on as we work our way through the text. The unknown author used 9 different words to talk about Scripture. He will call Scripture law or Torah, that's the Hebrew word, which really kind of means instruction, because it is that. He also will use the word testimony and the word precept and the word statute and the word commandment and the word judgment and the word, which is a kind of rule for living, and the word of God, and promise or promises and ways. He'll use all of those words to describe this important thing, the Bible, the Word of God. It's really quite interesting. You've got to imagine now, he's working his way through the alphabet, and you could imagine if you're going to do that in English, imagine getting to Q, and you know there aren't a lot of words that begin with Q, or X, even fewer, or Y or Z, and you're going to get some letters that are more difficult. But he's going to use every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and he's going to have 8 verses about each one of them, and each of those verses will begin with the letter at hand. And so it becomes really important. at least eight of these verses, eight of these alphabetic letters will have all of the words. They're going to be found, they'll have all, at least six of the 22 different letters are going to have all of the words. But only five verses do not contain a direct mention of the Word of God. Only five. Although we don't know who wrote this psalm, his love for Scripture is very clear. He loves it so much that he's going to spend all of this time putting together this long, long poem with 22 stanzas, and each one beginning with one of those letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Imagine the work that's going to be as he works his way through it. The basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the Word of God in the life of the believer. How do I put it to work? How does it make a difference? Seven times the writer of this psalm will tell his readers that he is delighted with God's Word. A lot of us spend time reading the Word of God, but we may well consider it rules and things you've got to do, and we don't appreciate it as much as we really should. And so that becomes, I think, vital for us to see. It's interesting, one author has gone through each of the letters and has given a kind of summary of what he thinks is in them, and I've kind of adapted his, and I'm going to work my way through all of those letters real quickly, and then we're going to spend our time looking at four of those letters. Aleph, he says, verses 1 through 8, is about how blessed are the blameless who follow the Word of God. And then Beit, verses 9 through 16, it's basically a call for us to take time to be holy, and that becomes important. Gimel, we need God's Word, he'll say. And then Dalet, when we're down and troubled and you don't know what you need, you've got someone who really cares for you, someone longing and caring for you. Hey is the next letter, and it is the unending will to be good. He really wants to do what is good, and he finds that in the Word of God. Vav, obeying is walking and talking. It's how you live your life. Zion, the ministry of memory, how important it is to remember what God has done. Het, God is all we need. Tet, God is good, and He's good all the time. Yod, we must read the instructions. God has given us instructions, and we need to read them and live by them. Kaf, a believer must have faith and patience. Lamed, there will be change, but God is changeless. He doesn't change. Mem, one must go beyond Bible study. You got to go beyond studying it in terms of putting it into practice and living it out. Noon, we will be faithful. Samak, how does one deal with the enemy around him? Ayin, the believer will have blessed assurance. And we even sing that song, don't we? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Pay, a chain reaction, how the Word is going to affect the believer and how it's going to change his life. Tsare, in God we trust. Kof, the author provides a primer for prayer, and in fact we're going to discover that prayer really kind of runs all the way through all 176 verses. Resh, the Word gives us the strength for the journey that we're in. Sheen, blessed are the balanced. You got to have live a balanced life. Tav, hear my prayer, O God. Today we're going to look at only four of those 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we're going to work our way through some of those psalms, four of the many psalms, four of those little eight-verse sections, and we'll work through those. We're going to jump down to Gimel, kind of our G, and every line in this is going to begin with that letter Gimel. We need God's Word, and that becomes the kind of theme here. It begins, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. You'll notice I put in a nice red the word that's going to be used to emphasize the word, the message of God. It's a call, again, a plea that God will help him to keep his word, that God will deal bountifully with him, and that he'll be able to keep the word of God. The word is life for those who are believers. It's something that really matters. And it is really something that's wonderful. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from you. Wonderful things. We're going to meet that word later on again. But wonderful, it's full of wonder. And the things that come from you are so amazing. And help me see that, Lord. You see, the real danger is that I'm going to forget what God's done for me. But he's doing wonderful things. And so the plea is, God, open my eyes. Help me to see the blessings that are coming from you. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandment from me. It's really interesting. We're going to get a theme that runs through the New Testament as well as the Old. We are really strangers here on earth. Our home is really someplace else. It is with God up in heaven. And we're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. And so he says, I'm a stranger in the earth. But don't hide your commandments from me. Make your commandments, and there's another one of those words for the Word of God, make your commandments clear to me. My soul is crushed with longings after your ordinances at all times. And so he here says that his soul is crushed. He feels as if he has to have a real passion for the Word of God. And he really longs for it. We'll get that theme again a little later on as well. You rebuke the arrogant and the cursed. You wander from your commandments. The folks who are the wrong folks, living the wrong kind of life, he describes as arrogant and cursed. And they're wandering from the commandments. They're not taking God's word very seriously. And he's saying, I do. I really do care about it, and I do take it seriously. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. And there's another one of those words for the Word of God, the testimonies of God. God is testifying. He's giving us evidence. And he says, you know, I'm reproached, and I'm filled with contempt, and I understand that I'm a fallen sinner, but I am really trying to observe your commandments. I'm doing my best to do what you've called me to do. Your testimonies are important, and they really are a delight to me. Even though the princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Even though the rulers of the world may come down against me, even those important people may not understand what I'm doing, I'm meditating on your statutes. Another word for the Word of God, the statutes of God. And those become important for me. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I like this part. Your testimonies are my delight. I delight in what you're saying and what you've called me to do and what you're testifying about, the evidence you're giving. They are my counselors. And literally, it is those who counsel me. It's sort of as if he has folks walking along with him. And the folks who walk along with him, those counselors, are the Word of God. And the Word of God becomes this wonderful testimony to who he is and what he's all about. And so it's a call for us to understand that as well. The next letter we're going to look at is Daleth. And so we really have moved from Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet to the fourth letter in the alphabet. When you're down and troubled and you need someone with loving care, God is there. And that becomes the theme of this text. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me to your word. And you'll notice that word revive, which is going to be a key thing. He wants God to revive him and give him understanding. Help me to understand what you're calling me to do. My soul cleaves to the dust. I know I am dust and I'm going back to the dust, but I'm asking you to come to my aid, O Lord. I have told of my ways and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. I've told you what I do wrong. Lord, you know when I'm a sinner. You know how sinful I really am. And you've answered me. You've come to my answer. You've come to my aid. Even though I'm troubled and feeling down and out, your statutes, those things teach me. And so he's really asking God to sort of teach him his statutes. And so all of that becomes important. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Another word for the law, the precepts, and make me understand them. Help me to understand what you're saying for me to do, to understand the benefit of it, so that I can meditate on your wonders. Because you amaze me, and everything that you're doing is so wonderful and so amazing. It's such a wonderful blessing to be your people, God. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. I am indeed grieving, and I feel this grief because of who I am and because of my sinfulness, but I'm asking you to strengthen me. When I'm down and out, I need you to come to my aid. Strengthen me according to your word. And notice it's according to your word. I need to do that. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. You've led me and you've made all of this difference in my life and you've done these wonderful things. And so I don't want to go the course of other men. I don't want to go the false way. Help me to avoid that false way. Because you see, I've chosen the faithful way. I've chosen to live as you've asked me to live. And I'm pleading with you for your ordinances before me, for you to bring your word and make your word alive. And so that becomes, I think, important for us. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I am holding on to them. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I'm going to run the way you want me to run. Your course is going to be my course. That's what really matters to me. And so I'm going to do it. All right. Now we're going to jump to the letter Pei, the sort of P in the alphabet. And it really is a kind of chain reaction, how the word is going to affect the believer. How is it going to change my life? What difference is it going to make? And so he really is going to offer another prayer. This is really kind of prayer language. Your testimonies are wonderful, filled with wonder again. Therefore, my soul observes them. The reason I'm doing them is because it's kind of amazing. It's so wonderful. I have no choice. It's not just a bunch of rules. It's wonderful. It's amazing. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It's interesting because when I understand your word, it enlightens things. And you get this light-darkness kind of thing. You're living in the darkness is the opposite of living with God. But I see the light and this light gives understanding even to the simple. Those of us who aren't so bright, we're still bright enough to read your word, O God, and to understand what your word is saying to us, and to live by your word. It gives understanding. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. This may remind you of a lesson we had a couple of weeks ago. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Now he says his soul is, he is panting for the Word of God. He's longing for His commandments. He wants to live the life that God has called him to live. What a wonderful text. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. I want you to be gracious to me and share this wonderful grace with me as I strive to understand what's going on. Help me to understand it and to appreciate it. Again, it's a wonderful text. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Help me to live by your word and make sure that I live the right kind of life, Lord. I understand the difficulties that are there. It seems his enemies are trying to destroy him. Everything is going the wrong way, but he wants God to give him aid. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Redeem me, come to my rescue, God, because folks are trying to oppress me. When you feel like you're pressed down and about to give up, this is one of those wonderful psalms that comes to heart. You see, I want to keep your precepts. I want to keep your word. I want to live by your word. And I want to make sure that I can do it. Give me that grace. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. And again, there's this call for God's face to shine on him. Again, it's more of a call for light and God to be the light and for God's face to shine on him so that he can teach him his word. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. He now is, interestingly enough, saying that he's crying because the people around him aren't keeping the word of God. Notice he has a real concern for reaching out to other folks. He wants to make a difference to those folks. He wants them to keep his word, but they're not doing it. And so he's really calling for an effort to reach out to people and to tell the story. And that's a call that we have as well. We have that same kind of responsibility to share that good news. We rejoice with the opportunity to help others and to share the message with them. And now, Resh. Resh, the word gives strength for the journey. We're on a journey. This life is a journey. We're traveling from place to place. And so now here we are with the last of the letters we'll be looking at today, Resh. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Come to my rescue because I really don't forget your law. There are so many promises in the Word that God will be near us. He'll see our problems and He'll take care of our needs. And now this author says that he sees that. He recognizes that. He wants God to look on his affliction and to rescue him, to come to his aid. The psalmist is very much about seeing that need. We find ourselves facing all sorts of afflictions ourselves. Those afflictions will come our way when it may be the death of a child, and we can't understand that. Or it may be sickness of loved ones. Or it may be this terrible COVID disease that we're dealing with now. Accidents sometimes leaves folks paralyzed, and we want to know, where is our loving God, our caring God? And our author says he's always there. He is there. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Now, we're going to see that phrase again and again. Revive me. In fact, he's going to say it three times in our text this morning. Revive me according to your word. I want you to make me alive. And the word translated revive here is make me live. May I live. And make me live, Lord, according to your word. Help me to live the right kind of life that is governed by your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they don't seek your statutes. Salvation is a long way away from wicked folks, but it's really present for me. You're my Savior, and I know that. And that's so wonderful. But they don't seek your statutes. And I understand that, Lord. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Do you notice there's another one of those revive things? Revive me this time according to your ordinances, according to your word, according to your ordinances. Your mercies are great. You show me grace in wonderful ways. I understand that it's all grace and it's nothing that I've done. But I want you to revive me. Make me alive. Make me alive again. And then he goes on, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. despite the fact there are a lot of bad folks out there who are out to get me, and bad things are happening all around me, I live in a world that is a sinful world, I'm not going to turn aside from your testimonies. I'm going to do what you say. Your word is going to make the difference for me, O Lord. I behold the treacherous and I loathe them because they do not keep your word. I see these bad folks in the world around me. They're treacherous and I loathe them. I really hate them. I hate what they're doing. I hate their way of life because they don't keep your word. Your word is what really matters. Consider how I love your precepts. You see, I really care about what you say, Lord. I love it. And he loves the word of God. And again, that's a kind of theme that runs all the way through these 176 verses. And then he says yet again, the third time, revive me, O Lord, according to your, this time, loving kindness. Your kindness, your loving kindness, your wonderful grace. And that's what's going to revive me and give me life. That will make all of the difference. It will indeed help me to understand what's going on in this fallen world in which we live. And the psalmist is calling again to be revived for God to make him live. To revive him according to his word. Let me live like your word says I should. Revive me according to your ordinances. Revive me according to your loving kindness. He wants to live his life the way God promised, the way that God intended. He's asking God to restore his life, and that becomes so important. The sum of your word is truth. He's going to use the word, one of our words for the word twice in this verse. The sum of your word is truth. That's the sum of it all. It's all about the truth. I get the truth in your word. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Your word lasts forever. Other things are going to fall away. But what you've told me is always going to be there. It's not going to change. Just like you don't change, your word doesn't change. It lasts forever. I hope you've appreciated our little run through four of these little letters. I encourage you this week, if you would, to take some time and to read through all of Psalm 119, all 176 verses. It won't take you but about 5 or 10 minutes to read through all of them. But I think you'll find it meaningful. It's interesting how often this text is one that folks will refer to. We have many of our songs that will be brought out of Psalm 119. Again, I could have spent 22 weeks going through each one of those letters of the Hebrew alphabet and going through each of those many psalms, but I hope the four we've looked at today are meaningful to you. The Word of God is meaningful. And even when trouble is around us, there is this call for us to live by the book. Because you see, if we appreciate the Word of God, it'll change us. It'll change the way we act with other people. It'll call us to be God's people. We again at 36th Street would love to be of assistance to you. If there's some way we need to be of assistance, we'd be glad for you to contact us, especially if you've come to understand the Word of God and need to respond in some way to that. We'd be happy to do that. We always have a baptistry warm and ready in case folks have come to believe that Jesus is the Lord, He is the Savior, and they want to confess Him as Lord and repent of their sins and be buried in baptism. We'd be happy to do that for you and with you. If you have any of those kind of needs, spiritual needs, again, feel free to contact us. I hope you've enjoyed our lesson today, and I hope you'll join us again next Sunday. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily give. I surrender, all. I surrender all. I surrender, I surrender all. All. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.